You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today, we are continuing our season projections with Brett Beatty. What will he mean to the Mets this year? In the first segment, I'll go into what he's done so far in spring and what he did in the minor leagues prior to this season to set him up to potentially make the team out of camp, if not early on in the year. In the second segment, I'll go through what the projection models are telling us about Brett Beatty this season and what we can take from that, where he could maybe exceed those projections. Then in the final segment, we'll talk a little bit about Rookie of the Year. Could he be a dark horse to win the award, or could he at least just be the Rookie of the Year for the Mets and be the most impactful rookie this team has? We'll get to all of it. First, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment matter more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Brett Beatty, in spring training, is 6-for-12 after going 2-for-3 today with an RBI hit. He's got four RBIs, he drew a walk, he had a home run. He's looking at an OPS over 1,200, 1,288 right now in obviously a limited sample size. But he's doing what you'd want from a player that theoretically has a chance to break camp with the team. Brett Beatty, if everything breaks right, will be the starting third baseman by the end of this season and hopefully at some point in the first half. With that said, when Eduardo Escobar goes out and he puts up a 176 WRC plus in September last year, and for those of you who don't know, WRC plus is weighted runs created plus. It is an all-encompassing metric that measures hitters based on a league average of 100. So Escobar down the stretch was 76% better than your average hitter. That is Paul Goldschmidt territory from last year. You want to give the veteran the nod to start the season at the position, and you want to give your young prospects in Beatty, in Vientos, and even Mauricio to a certain extent, something to push for. And so every indication we have heard up to this point is Brett Beatty is going to be in AAA to start the year, and they want him to work more on his defense. And that was the same excuse that they used, or the argument that they used, to hold back guys like Beatty and Vientos during the season last year, to hold back Pete Alonso once upon a time years ago. So that sometimes can be a crutch where you want to develop your players more. You want to shield them more from MLB action. You're not quite ready to give them the keys and let them learn and make their mistakes at the big league level as opposed to making them in AAA. So you look at the defense and you say, all right, we're going to keep them there. And to the Mets' credit, if they decide to put Brett Beatty in AAA to start this year, even though I think he's ready for big leagues right now, you know, he was not completely done with his development last year. He was incredible in AA, showed all that he needed to. You could say even showed more than he needed to. Played 89 games, got close to 400 plate appearances, 394. And that was after getting 176 plate appearances the year prior in AA. But you look at the stat comparison of those two seasons, completely different hitter. In AA in 2021, he still had 272, which was great with a 364 on base and a 424 slugging, but he hit the ball on the ground over 60% of the time. He cuts that to about 40% of the time the following year, completely slashing the ground ball rate, lifting the ball more, taking advantage of that high exit velocity that he has by getting the lift and carry he needs to hit 19 home runs and to really, you know, just come into his own as a hitter, where he completed his, you know, he made changes that fixed the issues he had in 2021 with not only hitting the ball into the ground, but why he was hitting the ball into the ground, which was an inconsistent load transfer, getting his hands and his lower half on the same page so it's one smooth motion. Now, you watch Brett Beatty hit, you're not going to find a smoother swing on this team. That's how good he has become. And with that, he gets the result of hitting over 300, of getting on base over 400, of slugging 554 and putting up the best weighted runs created plus in that league by a healthy margin. I believe he was 29 points better than the second best hitter in that league. A 160 WRC plus means he was 60% better than all the other players in that league. The average player, he was 60% better. He was the best player in that league in AA, the Eastern League. He goes to AAA, has a small sample size of six games. Eduardo Escobar is platooning with Luis Guillorme at the time. Guillorme goes down with an injury. They wanted a left-handed complement for Escobar because Escobar was not hitting right-handed pitching for a majority of the season. They call on Beatty because they also think his defense is further along than Vientos, and he is a more natural platoon fit than Vientos. Shows up, homers in his first at-bat, then, you know, didn't do too much. He did homer twice, but overall, it was a 184 average in 42 plate appearances, 244 on base, 342 slug, 71 WRC plus. I will still say he hit a lot of line drives at people. He looked pretty competitive in those at-bats, and unfortunately, he goes down with an injury, and all of a sudden, Escobar's playing every day. And for the Mets, it worked out because Escobar rose to that occasion and kind of kept his job. But Beatty was pushing for it. And so now you come into this season, and at some point, I expect that platoon to reform. I expect Brett Beatty and Eduardo Escobar to be sharing time over at third base because, you know, you look at the splits at what Brett Beatty did last year, and he was much better against right-handed pitching. So you can shield him against lefties a little bit, right? I wouldn't say you never let him see a lefty, but for a contending team that's looking to make waves this year and looking to try to win 105 games to outpace the Braves and the Phillies in this division and make sure they get that first-round bye so they don't get bounced on the wild card again, having Eduardo Escobar, who's a really good right-handed hitter, feast against lefties, and having Beatty in a specialized role where he still is the lion's share of the platoon. It's like Daniel Vogelbach at DH. Even though Vogey is in a platoon, you know he's going to be playing 75% of the time because that's just how it works when you have more right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching in the game. So Beatty can get that heavy part of the platoon and be a real impact player. I believe that's coming. The question just is, when does it happen? How many games does he play? That's what we're going to discuss next. First, though, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, maybe you just want to be healthier in general, you need to try some Built Bars because it's going to soothe all of your cravings. You don't have to be worrying about missing candy or cookies or any of those sweets because Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars, with incredible flavors like the churro, the peanut butter brownie, the coconut almond, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now, you don't have to wait around for a box because in the past, I tell you to go to built.com, and I still encourage it. Personally, that's where I get my Built Bars because I like to mix box. I like to try different flavors. But if you're looking to just get that quick fix, if you're listening right now, you're like, man, I really want to try this Built Bar thing, go to Walmart, go to Sam's Club. You can find them there at the pharmacy section of Walmart. You can grab your 4-bar box of the cookies and cream, the double chocolate, or the coconut puffs in Sam's Club, a 13-bar box of their hit flavors, the brownie batter or the churro. You can thank me later. Go to your local store and buy Built Bars today. Let's look at the projection models for Brett Beatty this season, and I will tell you something. I'm a little bit surprised here. You have a lot of these projection models at Fangraphs. If you go to any player's Fangraphs page, if you want to log on with me, you go to Fangraphs, you have the normal stats, then you have the green blurb of projections. So you'll see Zips DC. That's Zips depth chart. And a lot of these different projection models, the BATX, the BATATC, all of them, they are going to factor in depth charts into making their projections. They're trying to project how frequently some of these guys who don't have defined roles will play this year. And you look at that, you have some models that have them at 23 games, other models have them at 49 games. I think we're expecting Brett Beatty to play a lot more games than that. So then you go to the normal Zips model, which is not factoring in depth charts, and it's just projecting what the player's value will be over a full season. So if you have a guy like Brett Beatty, who's starting at third base against right-handed pitching for a majority of the year, he might play, I don't know, 111 games. That's what they're projecting. And I really want to focus in on their model because it's the biggest sample size that we're getting. And this gives you an idea of what Brett Beatty could mean to the Mets this season. They have 111 games, 484 plate appearances, 19 home runs, 68 runs scored, 69 RBIs. That's nice. One stolen base, 8.5% walk rate, 26.9% strikeout rate, isolated power 170, that's solid. A 253 hitter, 331 on base, 424 slug. That brings you to a 121 WRC plus, 21% better than your league average hitter as a rookie, with a 3.2 F-WAR, that's wins above replacement. So I think Escobar last year was 2.4. You're getting closer to an additional win if you bring Beatty into the fold. And I think that he has the chance to outperform that. Now, with that said, if you told me I could sign up right now on a dotted line, I can take my pen here, write down on paper, and I could sign a contract that says I will get 111 games from Brett Beatty at third base, where he's going to hit 253 with a 331 on base. He's going to hit 19 home runs for me, and he's going to be a three-win player. I would sign on that dotted line in a heartbeat. But I think Brett Beatty as a prospect has a little more in the tank. The 19 home runs I don't really have an issue with. I think this is a guy that might walk over 10% of the time instead of 8% of the time. And all of a sudden, that OBP starts to climb. Would I be shocked if Brett Beatty walked 12% of the time and struck out 23% of the time? Not entirely, because that's what he did at various stages of his minor league career. If you look at AAA, those were basically the numbers, 11.5, 23.1. He struck out 24.9% of the time in double and walked 11.7. And you look at double the year before, it was 12.5% walk rate. In high A, it was 11.5. This is a guy that has walked in over 10% of his at-bats in every single stop until he got to the big leagues last year, and it was a very small sample. I think he's going to walk a little bit more. I think he can hit for a little bit of a higher average. I don't know if the home run power is going to come immediately where he's going to hit 20 bombs this season, but I think getting to that 19 number is certainly doable. And if he's hitting 19 home runs, but instead of batting 250, he's batting 270 and he's walking a little bit more too, well, all of a sudden you just naturally bump the slug for the fact that he's getting hits more to something closer to the 445, 450 range. The OBP could jump up to 350. If he's a 450 slug, 350 on base, do the math on that. That's an 800 OPS guy. Getting that at third base would be unbelievable for the Mets. Not to mention, he's already getting some positive reviews for his defense, and he really worked hard on that this offseason. So, you know, Brett Beatty at this point is the clear-cut answer at third base. We have been discussing Ronnie Mauricio a lot on this show. And you know, I have been really doing some trafficking there when it comes to the hope on what he can bring to this franchise as a guy that has some clear star power. Brett Beatty does not flash as much star power in persona, but in output and production, I am more confident on Brett Beatty than any prospect in this system. That's why I also think there's an outside chance this guy can win a rookie of the year this year. Does he have that in the tank? Is he a dark horse to win that award? I like him more than Francisco Alvarez, and I think more money will probably come in on Alvarez based on his own star power than will come in on Beatty, and I just think that you might be throwing some money down the drain based on playing time. I think Brett Beatty has a much clearer path to a role, and I want to explain why he might actually be worth placing a little wager on in just a minute. First, though, today's episode is brought to you by, naturally, FanDuel, the number one sports book in America. It's the midway point in the NBA season. Actually, that just passed with the All-Star break. We are down to the stretch run before the playoffs, which makes it the perfect time to download FanDuel, because there you can get your no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the spread to how many points someone's going to score, how many rebounds they're going to grab, three-pointers they're going to drain. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. And as we're discussing baseball season, MLB futures are here. Brett Beatty, plus 1,300 for Rookie of the Year. I have been discussing a lot about Kodai Senga at plus 750. I'll tell you, I checked today, odds dropped a little bit, plus 850. I'm still all over Senga because when it comes to betting on an award, especially Rookie of the Year, you want playing time. And Senga's going to get that, and I think there's a good chance Beatty does as well. But don't miss your chance at some playing time on FanDuel. Get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment matter more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Is Brett Beatty a dark horse to win the Rookie of the Year? I think there's a distinct possibility that he does. I don't know for sure if I'm putting a big wager on that. I might sprinkle a little something. But when I look at the rookies the Mets have this year, whether or not he would win the award, I could see him being the most impactful rookie on this Mets team. And that does include Kodai Senga. And that's a world where Senga is good, but maybe not great, and he's, you know, pitching to a high 3 ERA, and he's effective, but he's not elite. Meanwhile, Brett Beatty hits the ground running to the point where you think, oh my God, we have a legitimate star on our hands. I think there is a world where Brett Beatty can fulfill his star potential right now. I really believe in the bat here. And if he can just be an average defender, and I even think there's a chance that he can be maybe a tick above average. You know, maybe at the end of the season, you look at his defensive runs saved and his outs above average and his ultimate zone rating, and it's like ones across the board. I could see that. Or even if it's negative ones across the board, I'm not mad. What you don't want to see is -7 or -9, and he is just pulling you down defensively the way we've seen some young third basemen in this division start their careers. Alec Bohm, Austin Riley wasn't great defensively at the start. Over time, I think as you get your feet wet in the big leagues, it's a lot easier to get acclimated to that position. It's tough, man. Guys hit the ball a lot harder to third base in the big leagues than they do in Double A. And so it comes at you quick, and that's going to be a big, you know, learning, you know, period for Beatty at the start of the season. But I think he's only going to learn that at the show, and I think he can hold his own offensively, so you might as well go to it. Because guess what? Eduardo Escobar, not a good defender at third base. I actually think that if you put them in a vacuum, I would not be surprised if Beatty's a slightly better defender than Escobar. It's not a high bar you're jumping to. I know at times Escobar will make the flashy play. He's got a strong arm and he uses it well. But there's also a lot of plays he doesn't get to. There's a lot of mistakes that he makes. And, you know, it's you look at the metrics and they paint a pretty clear picture. This guy is a below average third baseman. I think Eduardo Escobar will really benefit from DHing a couple times a week and only having to play third base against a tough lefty where you're giving Beatty a blow. I think that is a better role for Escobar. And if you get to that point where Beatty's on the team, I think you play him. Whereas Mark Vientos, if he makes the team coming out of opening day, I can see a small role for him just facing off against lefties. But the fact that Brett Beatty is left-handed, if he's on the roster, I think he's going to play. And with that, if he's going out and he hits his top outcome, this is a guy who, at his absolute best, could hit 300 at the big league level. We saw Michael Harris last year with the Braves. I just did a whole podcast for my Who's Better Baseball show where we were discussing which center fielder would you start your franchise with? You look at Michael Harris, who made the jump from AA last year, who I think it'd be pretty fair to say that in prospect circles, Brett Beatty has been considered a better bat than Michael Harris and has a better hit tool than Michael Harris. Michael Harris hit 297. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that Brett Beatty could go up this year and hit 295. And if he does that, and if he walks at a 10% clip, and he's playing average defense at third base, tapping into his power, he is going to be the best third baseman this franchise has had since David Wright. I don't know if he reaches that this year or if that's in 2024, but that's where he is trending. He is by far the best third base prospect the Mets have had since David Wright in 2003-2004. And he has a chance to be a special one. And when I look at Francisco Alvarez and the fact that he has part of his swing that can be attacked right now, fastballs up in the zone that he likes to chase, when I look at Mark Vientos and the swing and miss that he has in his game, when I look at Ryan Mauricio and the terrible chase rates that he has in his, and then I look at Brett Beatty and his offensive profile, I get to the point where I say that Brett Beatty is the best bat in the system. And I don't know if a lot of people share that opinion, but that's how much I believe in the floor of Brett Beatty. And I think the ceiling is an all-star. So to me, when you're a team that's trying to win now, sometimes that means you go with the veterans, because you want to ensure a floor. When I am looking at a floor of Eduardo Escobar and a floor of Brett Beatty, I think you have to bank on the ceiling, because I don't think the floors are that different on what you're going to get. And the ceiling is a bat that'll be a much greater impact, you know, hitting seventh for the Mets this year. It's going to lengthen that lineup and make this team a whole lot better. Whether that happens on March 30th, or May 30th, it's going to come this season, and fans are going to love what they see with this young kid. Anyway, though, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets this week on Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now, for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Dom and Matt will help you win your league this year as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. So find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.